For those of us here in the sanctuary, we are aware that it is both cold outside and cold inside. We think the heat is coming on now, but it has not been on for the last hour and a half, so we will hope that that continues to happen. For those that are online, we also know that we had a break-in in the sanctuary this week, and one of the things that was stolen was our control to our cameras. So we will have two camera shots because Corey is amazing and figured out how to do that without the equipment that we need for that. And we'll figure out what else we're missing as worship goes on. So our January worship series is going to be called Yes to the Mess. And we're practicing right now. So I want to invite us to take a deep breath. For those of us in the sanctuary, to stand as you're willing and able, and we'll move together on this fourth Sunday of Advent with song.
Oh, God of yesterday and God of tomorrow, we light this day all four Advent candles, and we remember. From the very beginning, you gave us the gift of relationships. From the very beginning, you tucked us into communities. From the very beginning, you wired us for connection. From the very beginning, you made our hearts capable of love. For this, we say thank you. This gift of relationship has led us to people who lead us to you, God, and we are the better for it. So today we want to say thank you also for our Elizabeths, for the people who have thrown open the doors for us, who revel in our joy, who point out your presence in our lives, and who are quick to affirm us and call us blessed. Those people come in many shapes and sizes. And for some of us, the Elizabeths in our lives are family members who have cheered us along the way. For others, teachers and coaches, neighbors, scout leaders, professors, counselors come to my mind. And we can't always ever forget the way our chosen family, friends, and partners have also been like Elizabeths for us. These people have reminded us what love looks like in a hurting world, which has pointed us back to you. So today, God, we ask for your help as we light these four candles, the light growing slowly more. May it help as we want to open our eyes even more, and as we move ever closer to the mystery and hope that is Christmas. Amen. You may be seated.
The dimple in your right cheek, the child playing peekaboo from his stroller, the abuelita who spends her afternoons in the park by 86th, the teenagers on the subway, who cannot control their laughter. Neil, my neighbor, who always asks about you. The mother who whispers a dozen times a day, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." The saxophone player at 42nd Street. The poets, the artists, the garden volunteers. The metro car driver who sticks his head out the window to make sure we're all aboard. The man who gave up his seat on the subway. The kid in the dinosaur pajamas who cannot be convinced they're not school attire. The teachers, the nurses, the taxi cab drivers. The woman at the end of the block with her yappy dogs and her books in the window. The lovers that lay sprawled out on park blankets. The runners, the daydreamers. The sidewalk chalk artists. John from upstairs whose favorite flowers are yellow tulips. The Persian man at the grocery who tells me to be safe when I leave. My grandmother in Georgia. My neighbor, the stranger. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
This was for the lonely child, broken hearted, running wild. This was written for the ones to blame, the ones who believe they are the cause of chaos and everything. You may find yourself in the dead of night, lost somewhere up in. You were all just perfect little satellites, spinning round and round this broken earth of life. This is all you'll know the sound. Someone who loves you. From the ground. Tonight you're not alone at all. This is me sending out my satellite call. This is all you'll know the sound. Someone who loves you from the ground. Tonight you're not alone at all. This is me sending out my satellite.
Yes. This morning when I was driving in, a memory flashed back and I really wanted to share with all of you. When I was a kid, growing up in Fiji, fog was a very rare sight. So if there was a little bit of fogginess, we would go outside and we just blow. Just to see this magnificent, this beautiful sight. So when I was driving in, I was like, wow, this is beautiful. Welcome. My name is Saranit Prasad, and I'm our Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. We are grateful to be together this morning with you for worship. As we continue our worship series called From Generation to Generation. For those of us gathering online, thetable.live, Chloe is with you as our host this morning. Please message her in the chat if you have questions or need assistance. Please note, we will gather for candlelight on Christmas Eve this year at both 5 p.m. and 11 p.m. We will hold just one worship on Christmas Day at 11 a.m. and one worship on New Year's Day, also at 11 a.m. All of this worship gathering will be shared both in person and online. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code for those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, please text the word NEW to the number on the screen. If you would like to connect with others and learn more about the table, our co-pastors lead a series called Growing in Faith, which is designed to help newcomers learn more about how we share in life together here at the table. Our Growing in Faith series will begin January 22. Learn more and sign up online at tableumc.org. So as Pastor Matt has already mentioned about our tablet, our check-in tablet for the kids were taken. And I was told before my KT, and I was pretty down after knowing that, because last week we had our dishwasher which stopped working. Our flag broke, but now we have a new one. And now the tablet was taken. But this morning, a beautiful angel asked me about the dishwasher. And that moment, it's so beautiful that we are going through this series called From Generation to Generation. And this little angel asking me this, and I said to myself, it's like, this is so beautiful. We are passing the care and love and joy amongst each other from one generation to another. And she gave me comfort. I invite you to remain seated as we continue to move in worship with our music team sharing Winter Song.
Our first reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, reading from the first chapter, verses 39 to 45, and then skipping over to verse 56. It'll be up there on the screen if you would like to follow along. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary remained with her for about 3 months, and they returned to her home. We've been sitting a lot, and we thought we would sit for this song. I really need to stand up. So do you. So, for those who are willing and able and needed, let us stand for Breath of Heaven.
I have traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen me now. Carry your son. I am waiting in a silent prayer. I am frightened by the load I bear. In a world as cold as stone, must I breath of heaven? I wonder, as you watch my face, if I'm wiser, one should have my place. But I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan. Help me be strong. Help me be strong.
And I want to invite our younger friends to move with their teachers upstairs to our godly place sanctuary. Jan is in the back, yeah, in the doorway. And Jamie, I think that's Jamie, right? Yeah. Yeah, Godly Play is our ministry with children on Sunday mornings. And our storytellers tell stories from Scripture. This is our last Sunday for this year. And then we invite our youngest children to wonder if they want to go to the nursery with Daddy. Oh, boy. You can do it, Hudson. Yeah. Our second reading this morning comes from Luke 1. Verses 46 to 55. It takes many weeks when a person doesn't go to childcare to work their way into the nursery. Yep, so we have a family plan about this. Luke 1, 46 to 55. It'll be again on the screen if you would like to follow along. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the lowliness of God's servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. God's mercy is for those who fear from generation to generation. God has shown strength with their arm. God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped God's servant Israel in remembrance of God's mercy, according to the promise God made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to God's descendants forever."
As our musicians move down, I invite us into a spirit of prayer. God, may the depth of your love for the world embolden our hearts that we might dream alongside you. May the depth of your love for the world lift up those places that are hurting and call us to live as your people in this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts bring us into ever deeper alignment with your hope. Amen. I want to apologize for my voice, but I'm getting over a cold, so I'm staying further away and masking, and with a spouse who's a physician taking, I think, the 7th COVID test in so many days to make sure. And Linda is going to start chemo on Friday. And so we are doing our best to love one another from a distance and to care for each other in those ways. One of the ways that Judy cared for us this last week, she sent a photo that she took in worship. Judy was sitting right over here during the 9:30 service where she is now with her wife. And she sent this photo, and it was a photo that was taken right over here, just past where Rachel and Mark are. That's Pastor Linda on the left, and Linda and Mark's daughter-in-law, Rachel, on the right, and their grandchild, Hudson, in the middle. Such a beautiful image that speaks into this worship series from generation to generation. Praying with the candles that Jen Martinez created to help us center. It's an image for me of belonging. Belonging. That's the title of the 6th chapter in Cole Arthur Riley's book called This Here Flesh. It's a phenomenal memoir, This Here Flesh, Spirituality, Liberation, and the Stories That Make Us. And Cole writes this: we need each other. We need other people to see our own faces. We need other people to see our own faces, to bear witness to their beauty and truth. God has made it so that I can never truly know myself apart from another person. I want someone to bear witness to my face, that we could behold the image of God in one another and believe it on one another's behalf. Belonging. Last Sunday, we reflected upon Joseph's story as it's shared in Matthew's gospel. And this week, we turn from Joseph in Matthew's gospel to Mary and her experience in Luke's gospel. After receiving the news from the angel, Mary retreats to her cousin Elizabeth's home. And when Mary arrives there, perhaps unannounced, Elizabeth doesn't just welcome her. Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit. And Elizabeth speaks a blessing upon Mary as her own child leaps and kicks within her womb. Elizabeth sees how God is at work and names that work out loud. And in this moment of profound solidarity, Mary and Elizabeth see one another, the belonging that Cole is writing about. Mary goes on to share this radical hymn of praise, declaring how God's liberating love remains with us steadfast through the ages. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian that we studied and worked with this fall together, he calls the Magnificat this song of Mary's, this song of Elizabeth's, this song of Mary and Elizabeth, the most passionate, the wildest, one might even say the most revolutionary hymn ever sung. And I found myself at first drawn to the Magnificat, and we've shared about this in worship, but what I kept coming back to this week was not the song itself, but the encounter, the relationship between Mary and Elizabeth that seems to give rise to this revolutionary hymn. Not the hymn itself that has sustained and freed people through the generations, but what made possible that liberatory song? Well, it seems to me that it starts with this welcome and this embrace between Mary and Elizabeth at the threshold of a home and at the threshold of a birth. The story of Mary journeying to Elizabeth is a profound witness to the ways that we can see when we open our eyes how God is at work in our relationships from generation to generation. A reminder that we can find God in each other. And how we see the divine in each other shapes how we live and move in the world. It seems that when we view a human being as a child of God, then we can begin to find the harmonies in the song of God's hoped for world. Our kitchen table spent time praying about this, not through song this week, but through visual imagery. It's a form of praying. Lectio Divina or Lexio Divina is sacred reading, and Visio Divina is a form of praying through looking on upon art. And the painting that we worked on together is called Dance of the Soul by Hannah Garrity. And Hannah shares this about her painting. I'll let you just take that in for a moment. In reflecting on Dance of the Soul, Hannah writes, "Passed down from generation to generation, my grandmother's painting palette still had watercolors on it when I opened it the other day. She placed them there so long ago. I think that the last painting classes she took were in 2005. Like her mother before her, she was a painter. Nana loved watercolor. The brushes we used for this Magnificat painting were one of the few gifts I received from her over the years, and certainly the most personal and precious. Nana gifted me 2 watercolor brushes. She saw the artist in me," Hannah writes. "My mother, my daughter, and I added water to the paint that Nana had placed on her palette so many years ago. We took turns with the brushes, adding water, letting generations flow into one another. We painted." Dance of the Soul by Hannah Garrity and all of the women who have loved her into being. Instead of spending time this week delving deeper into biblical commentaries, which is, I confess, where I most often go, I found myself drawn in a different direction this week. Instead of looking back at Mary and Elizabeth and wondering how biblical scholars who spend their days and their nights moving deeper into these texts might help us to see something that we haven't seen, I found myself instead looking around at our community of faith and reflecting on the ways that relationships here have helped give rise to songs of beauty and liberating hope. Songs that it feel to me like are echoes of what Mary and Elizabeth sang as they saw the divine in one another so many generations ago. It happened as I kind of felt in visually in my mind the Dance of the Soul, Hannah Garrity's piece of art. I saw it kind of fade into the picture, the image that Judy took last week in worship. I was able to spend a little bit of time on the phone this week with Rachel and to hear her reflect on what it was like to be welcomed, to be known and blessed by her mother-in-law. Rachel shared a little bit of her first memories of crossing the threshold into Linda and Mark's home. It was there that she found something that she hadn't really known in her young adult life. An open and a loving family sitting together around a dinner table. A permission to be open about her own truths, her own story, her own life. An openness to holding even those shaming or embarrassing places of a life, and still being met with openness and love to be herself. As Cole Arthur Riley writes, opening up to beholding the image of God in one another and believe it on one another's behalf. That takes time around tables, and it takes courage. And some of the ways that it shows up are kind of unexpected, that you might even seem frivolous. For Rachel, one of the examples of what it means to like behold the image of God in another has to do with alcohol. Rachel chose not to drink at a really young age because she'd experienced so much hurt in her young life. And for those who don't know Pastor Linda, she served churches in Napa and St. Helena. And we'll just say she does appreciate a nice bottle of wine. Instead of judging Rachel for her decision to abstain, Rachel feels met by Linda across a difference. She describes Linda pouring her water into a really nice wine glass, allowing Rachel to be her and still loving her and holding the simple things together across difference. Meeting me is a huge deal, Rachel says. I apologize. And it's not always easy. This accompaniment, this beholding the image of God in one another. Linda is not the most calm person all the time, Rachel said. I know everyone is shocked. It's true. Linda is not the most calm person. I think I'm done. Yes, as someone who's less calm. Rachel's talked about it like this. Linda is not the most calm person all the time, and in the chaos that we experience, and this is chaos, like Rachel didn't say this, but I'm going to name it for them, of like Mark and Linda welcoming Harrison and Rachel and Hudson into their home for a number of months as they finalize all the details on their beautiful home that this young family is moving into. But a couple of months is a long time for family to move back into that space, and chaos can be real. Rachel says, when I'm stressed, Linda helps me to take a deep breath and see the ways that I'm balancing and doing a good job even when I don't feel it. She brings me down to the middle and centers me. Gail Kurosaki first met Jen and Melissa during a 6-week series that we now call Growing in Faith, but it used to be called, back in the day, Blueprint for Discipleship. And I've admired for years how these folks watch over each other in love. And I got to talk a little bit this week with Gail to learn more about what makes this relationship that's so obviously special in the ways these humans behold the image of God in one another and believe it on one another's behalf. And Gail remembered the first time that she met Mel and Jen, and it was in the fireside room, like so many of you met people for the first time going through Growing in Faith. And Gail shares that Melissa did what she does. She just opened up and brought Gail in. Melissa has this way of bringing people in and facilitating a deep relationship before you even know what's going on. The next week, we gathered in the kitchen, and Jen had had a tough day. And within moments, Jen had broken down and embraced Gail. And there was just this moment of like complete vulnerability and an openness to embrace. Gail reflected on being Melissa's person for Jen and Mel's intimate wedding here at the table, and the power of Melissa saying to her, I love you and see you and trust you to stand with me. And then Gail shared a time when a friend had sent her a poem about, quote, butch women. She says, reflecting on it, it was this amazing and touching and this raw piece of work. And I was sitting on the couch and Mel was reading it to the two of us and Jen was sobbing and Gail was crying. And on this tough exterior, we are in this like center. We are this gooey. Why can't people see? I just want to love them. I have a hard outside and a gooey inside. This is us. And finally, Gail remembered being on the driveway at their house. Jen telling Gail stories about a friend, this friend that Jen saw herself following in this friend's path. And in this moment, Gail is realizing that Jen is that person for her. She's the one, she says, I want to follow. Wanting to be vulnerable and give yourself to the world. I want this for myself, and I get permission from Jen to do and to be me. And I can say amen to that one, Gail. Watching her live into this and walking into this allows me to live into me. Chrissy first met Joan Eddy when Chrissy was a student and Joan was her teacher. Joan back then, even today for Chrissy, is Miss M. Miss M. And it was a gift to talk with Chrissy this week as she reflected on this journey into relationship with Joan, where they began over time to behold the image of God in one another and believe it on one another's behalf. Chrissy remembers that she was in high school and she was placed in Miss M's class by a friend of Miss M's who was a counselor. And Chrissy felt like she was not doing well in school, but was always welcomed into Miss M's class for her ideas. Miss M was critical and open. I thought things were wrong in the world, Chrissy says, and I didn't know that I cared about justice. Because of the way I grew up, not my parents' fault, it was just like Miss M made space to see my heart and my mind and how I moved in the world. And she went on to share that after she graduated from high school, she was living from place to place. She was living with a friend, hopping around, basically unhoused or homeless. And Miss M had her come over to share a meal and proposed that Chrissy live with her for 6 months. Just 6 months. Get your things together, and then you'll move out. And Chrissy says 6 months ended up forever. She was 18 when she moved in and 23 when she moved out. She tried to be a Jehovah's Witness for a year, and then she left that community, and the Jehovah's Witnesses kept coming to the door and asking for Chrissy, and she kept trying to avoid them. And Miss M said, tell them that you're thinking about God in a different way. She remembers moving in with Miss M, and the memory is more than just in her mind. It's in her body and her soul. Miss M was at work, and Chrissy's lying on the carpet. It's so peaceful. Peaceful in the way of Miss M's spirit. It's this simultaneously calm and strong and gentle. Her home was strong and safe and alive. Things were growing. Plants were everywhere, and animals too. And I look around and realize that all of us are like stray animals that didn't have anywhere to go. And on that carpet resting was the first time that I felt safe. It's not just a memory for me, it's this like collage of memories that's embedded in my body. The dance of the soul is passed from generation to generation as we, like Mary and Elizabeth so long ago, behold the image of God in another. And find ourselves together believing it on one another's behalf. And so I wonder who some of the Elizabeths in your life might be. Or I wonder whom you might be serving as an Elizabeth for right now. Or who might be coming to the threshold of your door, waiting to be seen, to be welcomed, to be known, and to be loved. As we hold the dance of the soul, not just the one experienced by Mary and Elizabeth, but the ones that we have an opportunity to notice in our own lives this very day, In the middle of this Advent season, may we be emboldened again to find God in each other. And as we view the presence of God in one another and trust that we hold the presence of God within, may we find ourselves dancing together God's hoped-for world into being. Amen.
One of the greatest gifts and also challenges of faith is that we cannot follow Jesus by ourselves. We can't do it alone. We need one another. We need one another to grow. We need one another to love and to be loved. We need one another to see and understand and experience God more clearly. So I invite us to stand as we are willing and able, and we are going to lift our voices in a prayer in unison, in a way that leans into the ties that bind us to each other. It's what the church calls a prayer of confession. So let us pray out loud. God of today and tomorrow, when Mary was pregnant and afraid, she ran to her cousin Elizabeth's house. Elizabeth threw open the door with joy and showered blessings upon her. How often do we have that same opportunity? How often do we leave the door locked, the curtains drawn, and the lights off? How often do we shower critique or judgment instead of blessings and joy? Gracious God, forgive us for our wrongs. We want to see you when we see our neighbor. Amen. God of today and tomorrow, when Mary was pregnant, oops. Friends, this is what I know. I was in the wrong place. God actually, truly delights in all of us. God throws open the door just like Elizabeth does and says, come on home. There's room for you here. And in that moment, we are so blessed. In that moment, we are fully forgiven. In that moment, hopefully, we let it in that we are seen, we are known, we are healed and welcomed home. So rest in that, for it is good news, and that is how God saves us. And I invite us to join our voices one more time, only this time, let's use the words from Mary's song. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit
rejoices
in God my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the lowliness of God's servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed.
Friends, I invite us to hear and to join in the call and response that is the church's practice for recognizing the belovedness of God in each and every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also
thanks to the Lord our God.
In the beginning, when all was chaos, water and earth had yet to take shape, God the sculptor, the painter, the creator touched the swirling mass. God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky. God touched the earth and plants turned green and fruit began to grow ripe and to celebrate, God threw holy fireworks in the skies, placing stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and swimming beings made waves in the water. And God reached to the sky, and things with wings took flight. And God looked upon all of this and said, "This is good." And when everything was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You're the one I've been imagining. Behold, the image of God in you and in everything around you." But it wasn't good for long, because the people couldn't see the belovedness of God in themselves and in creation. So God reached inside God's heart and pulled out a face that might help us to know our own belovedness. The face set on earth as Jesus to remind us that God loves us and calls us to love one another, to abide in God's grace as Jesus abides in God's unfolding love.
Jesus did all that he could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love one another. But we couldn't accept that and we couldn't agree about it and we became afraid. And in the end, Jesus was given away by the very ones who thought they loved him best because the challenge was just too great. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promised them and promises all of us that he will never leave us alone, but will come back and take us home with him. And like those longest ago companions, we don't always understand the message Jesus brings to us or what is coming and going and coming again means to us. But we can be grateful and we can sing the mystery that is our faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come.
When Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simplest food that was their Passover meal. He took the bread and the cup of wine, and he blessed them both, and he gave thanks to God and said, "I'm sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather to remember me." Let us pray together the words Jesus shared generation to generation so long ago and have been passed down to us from person to person. The church has codified this prayer and named it the Lord's Prayer. We encourage you to name and address God in the way that is most dear and true in your heart. Let us pray. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered here and spread across many places. Over these gifts which are before us, make this for us your body and your love, and make us, through the sharing of this feast, your hope alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. Y'all may be seated. All are welcome at the table of God's love. And when we say all are welcome, we mean all, everyone. For those of us who are here in the sanctuary, we're going to go out the back, because it's still pretty soggy out there, it turns out. And Sarneet will guide us by dismissing you from the rear of the sanctuary out that door and coming back in. For those of us who are at home or wherever we are gathered, we want you to bring close to you your bread and or cracker or whatever you are using and your cup of juice so that we can be in common union with each other. There are places all around the sanctuary to kneel or to stand in prayer. We commend those to you to take some time before, during, or after this feast. And Jan has put each week a new prompt, and there is one this week as well for all of us. Remember that every week there are people here who make this their communal home, their spiritual home, but there are always people, or I shouldn't say but, and there are always people for whom this is a big step, and you are courageous and bold, and you've never done anything like this before. And so we watch over one another in love, follow the people around you. You can't mess up. Don't even worry about that. Don't even worry about that.
Friends, this is the bread of life and the body of Christ broken for you. And the cup of the new covenant poured out for all.
Not the body of Christ broken for you, and the cup of God's blood.
Thank you. Loving God, for the gift of this holy mystery, this divine dance, through the people who have passed the story of your love from generation to generation, for this bread and for this cup, for your peace which binds us and makes us one, we give you thanks. We offer this time in our lives in your creative ways and many names. Amen. We hope you will continue to wonder about what God's next steps might be for you. We are inviting our community to reach in love in a number of different ways here at the table. We'll be here for worship on Christmas Eve, for Candlelight Christmas Eve at 5 and 11. And then on Christmas Day, just one worship service, 11 a.m. And then the same on New Year's Day. Our Christmas offering this year will support the South Sac Interfaith Partnership Food Bank, and then also a new ministry that we're starting called Table Bread. I'll say more about Table Bread in just a moment. We also have a list on our website if you would like to make gifts to support the teachers, some of whom are part of our community, at Mustard Seed School, which is a ministry downtown to help children, to provide education for children who are unhoused. And so we have a list that Natalia has created, and you can go to that list from our website and purchase books that we'll make sure get to those children down at Mustard Seed. And similarly, The Greenhouse, an organization in North Sac, where we are invited to reach in love to them as well. There's a list of some things that they would love to have this Christmas. So we commend both of those to you. I held off on Table Bread because today we're going to have our first pop-up stand outside, and people have been asking, Table Bread, what is this? Churches don't usually turn a kitchen into a bakery. Actually, for a long time, the church has tried to figure out ways to align its resources with loving the world that God loves. And so we've taken this old kitchen and transformed it into a space where we can bake bread and then break bread together. We think that God is in the midst of that whole movement, that Jesus invites us into that for a reason. And so you have an opportunity at the pop-up stand to purchase a loaf of bread, maybe to gift to another person, maybe to break bread with folks that you're wanting to connect with across whatever differences you might have in this moment. And everything that we make from the sale of the bread here with Table Bread will go to support our ministries of growing food alongside neighbors in South Sacramento through Table Farm. So do you see how that works? We're generating peace and moving out into the world in these ways, and they feel very different than how church has been. And my hope is that God will keep calling us to reach in love in those ways that might seem unexpected, for indeed, that's how God comes to us. So this day, I invite you to stand as you're willing and able. Our musicians are going to help us. They'll send us out in song. For those of us in person, you'll find some of that bread outside. You can purchase. This is May You Find a Light.
Lost and weary traveler, searching for the way to go. Strange and heavy-hearted, longing for someone to know. May you find a light. May you find a light. May you find a light to guide you home. Thank you.
And every person you encounter. And as we see one another face to face, may we come to trust the belovedness of God from one to another. Amen.
May you find a light.